Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're continuing our series on emoji, and we're going to look at a portion in 1 Peter 1 momentarily, and then you can also hold on to Philippians 4, as we'll get there at some point, and we're going to move around to a number of places, and when you leave today, we'll have a handout with the basic outline as well as the verses. And ever have a great idea? This guy has one. We're going to be looking for some solutions today, and as we've been talking about emotions, yes, Daquan, are you raising your hand? Oh, yes, kids can be dismissed. Go ahead. Thank you, Daquan. Jesus says, let the children come unto me. And when they were shouting in the temple, he said, don't quiet them. anyway, where was I? Emotions. Speaking of emotions. We all experience emotions, and some of us feel like we're not emotional people. Those who are more calm and not as demonstrative or expressive tend to think, well, I'm not emotional. We put the classification for emotional is that person that cries all the time. The person who is just, again, demonstrative or expressive, and that's someone who's emotional. I'm not emotional. And if you say that, I bet that there's a moment in when someone pushed all the right buttons enough that you have that outburst of anger. That's emotion, in case you didn't know that. All of us are emotional people. We have experienced negative emotions of sadness, loneliness, despair, apathy, a sense of a lack of purpose, anger, hatred, bitterness, fear. We've experienced all of those emotions. We've also experienced the positive ones that we would prefer to have: joy, peace, excitement, exhilaration, delight, pleasure, comfort, security, a sense of an absence of fear. We want those kind of emotions, and there is a struggle, a difficulty to have those, and God wants us to have those emotions. But emotions are interesting. I was visiting my grandmother, who passed away 17 years ago now. She had Alzheimer's for about 20 years, and she died when I was 22, 23, so all I knew of her was Alzheimer's, but she was always kind of calm, relaxed. She'd kind of try to joke and say some weird stuff to try to make you laugh and stuff. She never really knew who I was, but she was always calm. Well, I was visiting her, Heather and I were visiting her at my uncle's home. She was living with my uncle. We were sitting at the kitchen table. There was this bowl of fruit on the table there, and there was a banana on the in that bowl of fruit. And she must have been trying to tell me she wanted a banana, and I didn't hear her because I'm a guy. We block people out as far as our hearing is concerned. Oh, I gave away a secret there. what? I didn't hear her. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, goes, hey, buddy, give me that banana. sorry. I was startled by the outburst because that's not usually her. And all of us have encountered emotions that are startling. Have you ever had that? Someone that you thought was fine, everything was going great, and then all of a sudden they become irate. Where did that come from? I didn't expect it. I don't know where that came from. Or maybe emotions that are out of place, where everything seems happy, and then all of a sudden someone bursts into tears. And those of us who are guys go, I don't know what to do with that. Ladies know better, usually. Or someone is just incredibly happy when it doesn't seem to fit what's going on. What's going on? Why are they smiling like that? Sometimes it's scary emotions, right? They're out of place. They're kind of unpredictable. My kids, when we get into the van on a hot summer day, will say, it is so hot in here. Can you turn the heat on? Yeah. You mean you want to get hotter? No, we're hot. Oh, okay. Then they'll do the same on a cold day. It is so cold in here. Were you turning the air conditioner on? Mixed up on the way the stuff works. And have you ever been confused before? See, emotions are just, we need them. We must experience them. But they're crazy. They're unpredictable. They don't make sense. Sometimes they show up. Sometimes you're sad and you're thinking, I don't know why I feel sad. I have no reason to feel sad. Everything's going great, but I feel sad. Sometimes you just feel something's wrong and you don't know why. Sometimes it could be the Holy Spirit checking you, but sometimes it's just there's something going on in your body and your mind. And ever all of a sudden just get incredibly mad, and you thought, how did I get that mad about that? And it was only until like 3 days later that you look back on it and you go, I shouldn't have been that mad. You ever done that before? I shouldn't have been that mad. And then you have to go through the painful action of apologizing. I'm sorry, I don't know what was wrong with me. I don't know what came over me. You say that sometimes? Because emotions, again, they're powerful. They almost seem uncontrollable. And yet the Lord wants to give us solutions to these emotions. Wouldn't you rather have some stability where I'm stable? There's not outbursts of anger. There's not despair and anxiety and depression, but I have stability. Don't you want that? And the Lord has solutions for us. Many of us here have deep emotional struggles, and the Lord wants to set us free from that. And last week we learned that the first step is to eliminate the toxins out of our souls and out of our spirits. If you've missed that, it's on the website. You can listen to it or you can review it if you already heard it. And those toxins are sin, unchecked cravings, grudges, the wrong kind of people in our lives. Those are things we need to remove in order to begin to develop this happy heart. And I told you this last week, that doesn't mean that you can say, well, the Lord wants me to be happy, so what makes me happy is punching Diana in the shoulder. So the Lord wants me to be happy, Diana. And don't mean that, because I hear people do that all the time. Well, the Lord wants me to be happy so I can just do whatever. That's not what it means. But He wants us to be rejoicing always. And so we eliminate toxins, but then what? We move stuff out of the way. Now what needs to be there to provide the solutions for us? And the way we find these solutions is by being prepared. But being prepared through what? First, through maintaining righteousness. Psalm 119, verse 165 says, those who love your law, that is, that they live by your law, have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. Luke 2:14, the angels declare peace on earth among those with whom He is pleased. Romans 5:4 says, character produces hope. James 3:18 says, a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. If we are regularly doing things that make peace, we're choosing to not get what we want so that someone else can get what they want. We're making the right choices. We're living righteously. We're doing the right stuff when no one else can see us do the right stuff. We're doing the right stuff when we're not instantly gaining from it. Again, we're a microwave society. If it doesn't work instantly, then we don't do it. That's not how righteousness works. And we sow and we sow. And the Bible says that those who live out righteousness, they acquire many blessings from the Lord because there is blessings in righteousness. But if we're not doing that on the long run, because sometimes, have you ever ended up in some tragedy and you thought, oh, maybe I did something wrong. I need to straighten up now so that doesn't happen again. It's too late by that point. We need to be doing it day in and day out, living out righteousness, and then we begin to find stability in that. The second is by understanding our future. Psalm 51:12 says, the joy of your salvation. That is, in salvation we find joy. John 14, verse 1 and 2, we referred to this verse last week. Now we're going to see what he was talking about when Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. The reason why is because in my Father's house, there are many rooms. You have a future, and because of that future, you should not let your heart be troubled. Hebrews 12:2 says, Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. That cross, that crucifixion, that beating that was so horrific, and many of us don't understand how graphic it was and excruciating the pain was. He was able to go through that with joy because his mind was focused on what was ahead of him. And then 1 Peter, I asked you to look there. 1 Peter chapter 1, picking up at verse 3, Peter says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." Verse 5, "who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Verse 6, "in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Verse 8. "Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." If we truly understood what was awaiting us after this life, we wouldn't have been so mad about that thing. If we truly knew what was around the corner, we wouldn't be afraid or anxious about that thing. Because, listen, if you won the lottery, $1.5 billion, now I know some of you that would be great anxiety if that were happening to your life. But if you won the lottery, $1.5 billion, but then you found out that they changed the way they give out the money and there's a 10-year delay, would you go, "oh, woe is me, life is horrible, I almost had $1.5 billion, but I don't have it for 10 years. And I'm sad and I'm scared." Would you be afraid about your finances? "I just lost my job, I don't know what I'm going to do." Would you be afraid of that when you know in 10 years I get everything? And it's the same way with in heaven, and heaven is so far better than $1.5 billion. If you know you have that, I shouldn't be sad. I have my Savior is preparing a room for me, a place for me to dwell in where there's no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death. There is joy and pleasure and exhilaration for all eternity. My Savior is there. My lost loved ones who knew Christ are there, and I never lose them again. Everything is an amazing there, and so why am I afraid now? That's why Jesus said, "do not let your heart be troubled," because that is your future. But our minds are not on the future. Our minds are here on the, what am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? What am I going to drink? And Jesus said, Matthew 6, don't worry about that stuff. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And if we learn to focus, to keep our minds heavenward, when you're in despair, remind yourself, doesn't matter, that's what's ahead. When you're afraid, tell yourself, doesn't matter, that's what's ahead of me. And you will find anger subside, you will find joy show up, peace, and you will find a stability if I can learn first to maintain righteousness, second, to understand my future, and thirdly, by patiently being optimistic. And how do I do that? This is a verse, Psalm 30, verse 5, that has carried me through a number of things in my life. One in particular, my father has bipolar, and I do not, but I sometimes wonder if some of his emotional makeup was passed on to me, because there were seasons in my life that my emotions would go into a deep, dark place. And sometimes, like I was describing to you, that was coming from experience and not just from hypothetical. I've had those moments where I feel incredibly sad, and I have no idea why I feel sad. And then Psalm 30, verse 5, was the verse that always began to carry me out of that. And the psalm writer says this, "though the sorrow may last through the night, joy comes in the morning." Now, he doesn't mean that literally, if you're having a bad time, just go to sleep. When you wake up, all your problems will be gone. Wouldn't that be fantastic? That's not what he means. What he means is there is a temporary nature to your problems. Almost every problem, almost every one that you encounter in this life, it comes to an end at some point, and sometimes in the very near future. But for some reason, when things go bad, we think it's going to always be bad. Because it's bad now, it's going to always be bad. Sometimes when things go good, we think it's going to always be good. Because it's good now, it must always be good. And then when it goes bad, I thought it was always going to be good. And we get demonstrated in our own experience time and time again that things go good and then they go bad and then they go good again. That's just the nature of life. And if we remember that when we're going through the ringer, that this is temporary, this comes to an end, then there is this joy that comes in the morning because I know that I'm okay, I can tolerate this for a season. So it has a temporary nature to it. Also, Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Then David adds, Psalm 126, verse 5, or the psalmist at least, says, those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. Romans 12:12 urges us to be patient in tribulation. And then Paul adds 2 Corinthians 6:10, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. That is that when you follow the Lord and you have nothing financially, you are following the Lord that possesses everything. And so if you need it, if you actually need it, he's going to bring it your way. And the times that the Lord has enabled me to exercise that kind of faith, I have found that when I needed something and I could not contrive, I'm a planner. I love to try to, any of you a planner? I love to try to plan all the ways that I can make that happen. But when you sense that God's going to do it and you just step back, it's amazing the kind of plans he has. It'll blow your mind the kind of plans God has. But you have to believe that all things work together for the good. That's why Diana here could go through two knee surgeries on the same knee within less than a year's time because she knew something good has to come from this. And I'm telling you, if that's your mindset, if you go into a trauma, a stress, a dilemma in your life, and your mindset is something good has to come from that, how can you be angry with it? How you can be sad? How can you be sad or depressed or any of that stuff? Anxious, scared. If you know that that looks bad, but all things work together for the good of those who love him. If we live that way, you can't be sad. You can't be lonely or despaired or anxious or angry because we understand how to be patiently optimistic. And then lastly in this point, don't get your hopes up. Earthly end is not an end for us. So even if your problem ends up lasting a lifetime, it's still not the end for you. It still is temporary. Even if your problem is what is going to take you out of this world, it's still only temporary. Besides, that's just a doorway to walk into your eternal inheritance, death. And that's why Paul could write one of my favorite passages, 2 Corinthians 4:8 and 9. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. That's why James could add James 1, 2 through 4, this urging, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet various trials of various kinds, knowing that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. It doesn't matter what the world throws. Again, if you have that attitude, it doesn't matter what the world throws at me, even if it results in death, even if it results in I'm going to live in poverty all my days, even if it results in I'm going to have this physical issue in my life for the rest of my earthly life, that can't rob you of your joy if your focus is on there. It can't, because nothing. That's why the apostles, when they got dragged into prison and beaten and then sent on their way, they went away rejoicing. You know why? Because they said, one, we got to identify with Jesus. He suffered, we got to suffer. Whoever says we get to suffer, great, woohoo. They did. And they rejoiced in that too, because they knew that if this is going bad here, there must be something great ahead of us. And if you have that kind of optimism, have you ever met someone that's like that? That it doesn't matter what goes on in their life, it just they find a way for it to be the greatest thing that ever happened in their life. And for some of us who are not there, that drives us crazy. I just want to see them be mad sometime. And for those of you who think that's easy for you because you are naturally optimistic, I want to tell you, you are most certainly wrong. I am not naturally optimistic. I have had to work to discipline myself to believe that stuff. Because naturally, I'm pessimistic. And my wife can tell you that. And she is naturally optimistic. And so even in my sanctified version of optimism, in contrast to her, it still becomes evident who is the pessimist and who is the optimist. You can't fake natural ability or supernatural. We know where it comes from. But you can become an optimist. You can. I've met people who've gone through some of the most awful things who are natural pessimists, and the Holy Spirit comes and works in their life, and all of a sudden they're good with life. And that can happen in your life if you decide to choose to believe that there is something ahead of me, and it doesn't matter what's going on here. If you choose to believe that God is a good God, and He will never allow you to go through horrific things if there wasn't some great good that's going to happen, not only for the world, but for you, that's the kind of God we serve. And all of a sudden, if we live that way, we have solutions where I can be stable and not have outbursts of anger, not have anxiety, not be in depression, but I can have joy and peace and all that stuff. Lastly, how do we get prepared? And I know that this subject comes up often, but truly it is at the root of so many things, and that is by maintaining a devotional life. I have to have a close relationship with the Lord in order to survive life. Jesus needed it. Jesus was praying often, and He is God in the flesh. If He needed it, most assuredly we do. And there are two parts to typically for devotional life. One, Bible study, which Psalm 19, verse 8 says, "The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart." And the reason why they're joyful is because if you've studied the Scripture correctly, the Scripture tells you, listen, this is the great, abundant grace that God has for you. You are awful. You've done bad things. And as much as you would think that would be a bad message, but then He says, "But I have overcome all that, and I have welcomed you in my kingdom, and that is what I have in store for you. And I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you." And then He gives us amazing wisdom and insight on how to deal with certain things in our lives. And then when you see that, it rejoices your heart. I can't tell you how many times I've read through the Scripture and just my whole countenance changed because of what is being said in His book. Secondly, through prayer. And I asked you to turn to Philippians 4. And I'm going to give you one verse prior to that. Romans 12:12, in the midst of Him telling us to be patient in tribulation, Paul tells us in that same verse, be constant in prayer. That the way that you can be patient in tribulation is by being constant in prayer. Then Romans 4, beginning at verse 4, says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Rejoice in the Lord always, and the peace that surpasses understanding. In the midst of that, you know how that arrives? Because the Lord is at hand, and because we pray in everything. And it cannot be that once everything has fallen apart, well, I need to pray now, because everything's falling apart. It doesn't work that way. We need to have been praying day in and day out, heading into that, not knowing it was coming. And then when it comes, I have the capacity to rejoice in the Lord always. I have the capacity to have this peace that surpasses all understanding if I've been walking with the Lord ahead of time. Studying the Bible. You need answers. It doesn't always work that when you need answers, well, now I need to look and try to find an answer in the Bible on the spot here because I'm in a dilemma. And sometimes God is gracious and He helps us out in those moments, but it doesn't always work that way. But if you're studying the Bible day in and day out, you're memorizing it, you're dwelling on it, you're living it out, you're applying it to your life, then when the dilemma comes, the answer comes instantly because you have that inside your spirit and you're ready. And the person who is ready is the one who, when the trauma comes, when the storm comes, when the difficulty comes, there's no outburst of anger. There's not fear, there's not anxiety. That's why Jesus, in the midst of so many bad circumstances, even a storm, He had peace enough to be asleep in it because He walked through the truths that we see there in this Word. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? Wouldn't you like stability? And some of us, wear our emotions more on the sleeve. They're more outward. And that's not sinful. That's not a problem. In fact, it's probably a good thing because those individuals know they are emotional. Some of us keep all our emotions inside. And we assume that we are not emotional. But there's all kinds of turmoil that can be going on within. In fact, Proverbs speaks of that sometimes there is the smile on the face, but there is an ache inside. And there are some of you here that you have an ache inside. Some of you have anxiety, worry, stress. And not that it's a problem to encounter that initially, but the Lord wants us to walk in a place where we have no fear, where we do not walk in sadness, sorrow, and we do not have outburst of anger, but we have joy inexpressible and full of glory. That's what He wants, the peace that surpasses all understanding. Do you realize the reason why Paul said that it surpasses all understanding? Because it doesn't make sense for someone to be at peace in some of the moments that God says we can be at peace in. But the only way you can have that is if you're ready for it to come. The Scripture tells us that we should not presume upon tomorrow. We don't know what's coming tomorrow. We don't. Tomorrow, and here's good news for you, tomorrow your whole world can be torn apart. Tomorrow could be your last day on this earth, old or young. You do not know what is coming tomorrow. And the only way you'll be ready for it is if you are doing these principles, living out righteousness, being patiently optimistic, seeing things the right way, focusing on your eternal reward, and maintaining this relationship with the Lord. Then when the storm comes, when the microphone falls, there is no fear and there is perfect peace. And Jesus wants to give that to you. That's why we saw last week, Jesus said, "My peace I give to you, but do you want to receive it today?" And so some of you, you need to come forward and you need to, whether it's you need to ask the Lord to help you with one of these areas, multiple areas. Some of you, you need to come forward and you may need to make that commitment that, "Lord, I'm going to walk in that. Lord, help me to see things that way. Help me to focus on heaven. Help me not to be consumed with the worries of this life. Help me to pursue you the way that I should. Help me to live the way that I should." And if that's the cry of your heart today, then as they lead us, come and let the Holy Spirit do His work. Yes. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, let's worship Him. Lord, that's why You're our Savior, because You have delivered us. You not only delivered us from the state of being lost and being in darkness and being without God, but You save us ongoing. You are regularly our rescuer, showing up when we are falling, when we're failing, when we're in despair. You come like a knight in shining armor to rescue. And for that You are worthy. For that we declare Your praise. For that You deserve honor. But Lord, we're asking that You would help us to respect that work that You've done. To respect it by responding in faith, that when we are in despair, that we would believe You, that we would trust You, that though this now is hard, though now I might be in a dark place, I am crushed, but I'm not broken. I'm persecuted, but I'm not in despair. Because end, in the world's sense, is not an end for me. Help us to trust You enough with our lives that we're willing to face any number of obstacles and traumas and difficulties. Because that's who Jesus is. You know, the moment that we want to point our finger at God and say, this isn't fair. You don't know what it's like. I shouldn't have to go through this. All Jesus has to do is point at the cross. Because God Himself took on human flesh and allowed all the foulness and the wickedness and darkness and the trauma the world has to throw at us, and He allowed it to all be thrown at Him. And then He says, I want you to follow Me. Pick up your cross daily and follow Me. We can overcome, can't we? We can win this fight. We can win the fight against anger. Win the fight against depression. We can win. And remember, though the sorrow may last through the night, His joy comes in the morning. Even if, and I heard an old preacher say at a funeral last year of the individual that had passed away in Christ, that when that individual died that morning, that person awoke. And those words have stuck with me, because when you die, you have been awakened to live like you've never lived before. That's what's ahead of us. And that's what we need to be able to show, not just say, show to the world. The world has to see that there is a way to find joy, peace. And they can't see it if you're just saying it, but you don't have it. The world needs to see that there is stability, and they can't see it if they just hear it in your words. We need to show them that, yes, no matter what I face, this Jesus that we speak of gives me peace that is unexplainable, joy that is inexpressible. And I'm telling you, if we allow our hearts to be filled to live that way, then those people are going to look at us like we're crazy initially, and then they're going to say, whatever it is they have, I want some of that. And it's not a drug, by the way. Whatever that is, I want that. And so I'm excited for what God has in store for us, aren't you? And we're going to continue this journey. If you're here with us for the first time, you're on your own journey, and I want to find out what your journey is like. I want to find out how it might fit with ours. So when we dismiss in a moment, outside these double doors, last door on your left, give me a few moments and I'll get back there. Go ahead and take what you would like, and I'll be back there. We want to get to know you a little bit. That welcome or that communication card, please hold on to that to give that to me. I have that gift for you. But next week, I'm going to be out of town Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'll be back for Bible study, so don't skip. But I had to prepare this week and next week's message this week. And I'm more excited about next week's message than today's, which I told Bonnie. I said, I wish I didn't have to do that because I'm more excited than the one I'm going to have to preach first. Because next week, the Lord's going to show us in 1 John how our relationships and the health of our relationships has a big impact as to why we feel the way we do. And the Lord's going to show us how to find healthy attachment in our relationships because it's needed. It's needed. And so I look forward to that. I hope you'll join us for that. I'm so pleased that you were part of what God did today. And let us continue to work. Let us continue to work in the leading of the Spirit. It doesn't stop here. It goes out there into the marketplace and the highways and byways. Amen? Lord, thank you for what you started here today. And we ask that you would bring to completion what you started. We rejoice in you. And we ask that your name would be exalted, not only in this place, but in our lives and the way we live it as we go out into the world. We ask it in Jesus' name. Make us overcomers. Amen.